Namaste Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, because today is Srila Narottam Das Thakur's appearance, we're just going to be covering the verse briefly, and then we'll move on to some nectar about Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Reading from the 7th canto, chapter 8, text number 33. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Please repeat. Dhyaus tat satokshipta vimana sankula protsarpata kshma cha padabhipirita shailaha samutpetu Amusha Ranghasa Tattejasa Kam Kakubho Na Rejire Daustat Satokshipta Vimana Sankula Daustat Satokshipta Vimana Sankula Protsarpa Takshma Chapadavi Pirita Protsarpa Takshma Chapadavi Pirita Shailak Samudpeturamusharanghasa Shailak Samutpeturamusharanghasa Tattejasa Kam Kakubho Narejire Tattejasa Kam Kakubho Narejire Dhyaustatsato Vimana Sankula Protsarpa Takshma Cha Padavi Pirita Shailak Samutpeturamusharangasa Tattejasa Kangakubho Narejire Dhaustav satokshipta vimana sankula Protsarpa takshma cha padapi bidita Shailak samutpeturamusharangasa Tattejasa Kangakubho Narejire Satokshipta Vimana Sankula Satokshipta Ladies? Protsar patakshma cha paravibhidita Sailat samutpeturamusharangasa Tatejasa kanga gubonare jire Yaustat satokshipta vimana sankula Rutsar patakshma cha piravi pidita Shailaksamut peituravusharangasa Nadejasa kanga gubo narejire Yaustat satokshipta vimana sankula Samutpeturamusharangasa Dao outer space Tatsata by his hair Ukshipta thrown up Vimana Sankula filled with airplanes Protsarpata slipped out of place. Kshma, the planet Earth. Cha, also. Padaambipidita, distressed due to the heavy weight of the lotus feet of the Lord. Shaila, the hills and mountains. Samutpetu sprang up. Amusha of that one, the Lord. Aranghasa due to the intolerable force. Tattejasa by his effulgence. Kam the sky. Kakubha the ten directions. Nare jire did not shine. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation, airplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on Nrsingadev's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illumination. Please repeat. Airplanes were thrown into outer space, and the upper planetary systems by the hair on Nrsingadev's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illumination. Report. That there were airplanes flying in the sky long, long ago can be understood from this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago, and the statements of this verse prove that the symptoms of a very advanced civilization then existed, even in the upper planetary systems, as well as in the lower planetary systems. Modern scientists and philosophers foolishly explain that there was no civilization prior to 3,000 years ago. But the statement of this verse nullifies such whimsical judgments. The Vedic civilization existed millions and millions of years ago. It existed since the creation of this universe, and it included arrangements all over the universe with all the modern amenities and even more. Om Agyanitamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadam Ayam Dadati Shabadantikam Ugam Kuru Divachalam Pangam Langaya Tegirim Kimbatam Ham Bande Sigurum Dinatadunam. So, we're continuing after so many days of ecstatic kirtan and festival and Lord Nityananda's appearance, and we've been absorbed in a different sort of mode. Now we're having to come back to the incredible pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev defeating Hiranyakashipu and his demon friends. And again, to recap a little bit, the Lord had just disposed of Nrisimhadev and his associates, which were, as Prabhupada points out here, there were thousands. They were all very eager to assist or support Hiranyakashipu, but the Lord easily dispatched them with his many arms and his nails. You can just imagine the scene. It was quite, at least in a material, the material estimation, it might have been quite horrific. Of course, for the devotees, it's a very transcendental experience. So now the Lord is, just before he sits down, we'll hear about that tomorrow, things are winding up as far as the killing of Hiranyakashipu or Nrisimhadev and his associates. And in the verse today, we're hearing about how airplanes were thrown throughout the sky. And as Prabhupada points out here, there were airplanes in the sky long, long ago. It's not just that recently, all of a sudden, due to modern advancement, they've been able to create this airplane. They have this new one out. What's it? The 758 or something like that? It's a new one that they... What is it? The Dreamliner? A Dreamliner. That they had to ground because they couldn't fly it, because it was having so many problems. Now they've grounded the whole fleet. So modern society may be very proud of their advancements, but actually we're hearing here from the pages of the Bhagavatam that it's not anything extraordinary. There are so many accounts given in the Vedic literatures of airplanes. There's a very nice description given in the Bhagavatam of how Kardama Muni created a very beautiful flying city. It wasn't just a dream liner. It was a dream city and was full of all sorts of wonderful amenities, as Prabhupada points out here. That in previous times, it's not that there was something lacking in terms of amenities and even more. Certainly, Kardama's floating dream house, it was at least a dream house for Devahuti. She was in heaven, right? Typically in the material world, the ladies, they want to have first class of this and that. You make a nice house, you give them some nice cloth and big family, and it's a dream existence. So also Devahuti, she was also desirous of, after undergoing severe austerities, Kardama Muni created this beautiful place for her, which was self-illuminated simply by its gems and jewels. It didn't run on jet fuel or need require generators and so many other things. In itself, it was constructed of beautiful gems and had beautiful gardens and with pools and gardens and swans, and not that it flew through the sky and at any moment, as soon as it hits some rough turbulence, everything starts shaking around, as anyone who's been on a plane can attest to. You're constricted. You have to. You're subject to the airwaves and a crummy pilot. As a matter of fact, I was some time back. I was flying with some family members in a small airplane, and it was. I think it was a six-seater, six or eight, something like that. And at least it was equipped with this system that if there's another plane that comes too close to it, it starts beeping. There's a radar system that, or some sort of a sonar radar system that tells you, okay, there's danger. So as we were going along, all of a sudden this, the pilots and everybody else is just having a gay time. They're absorbed in all the gadgets on the dashboard there. And all of a sudden, this beeping comes off, and you know that it means another airplane. And you're flying at least in the small airplane, you're not flying that fast. It's only about 300 miles an hour. And the other plane is also flying quite fast. And then all of a sudden, the system is that it reverts to autopilot. It has some kind of a fail-safe system that it reverts to autopilot if you don't make the right adjustments. So all of a sudden, it switched over to autopilot, and the plane lost elevation purposely. And so the plane fell down. We went down quite some, I don't know how far, but we went down some distance. And everybody flies up out of their out of their seat. And some people got hit in the head. It was hilarious. How close the other plane was, you couldn't tell. But at least you could at least tell. As the plane was going by, that there was some sign language coming from the other pilot, if you know what I mean. So, not that sort of uncontrolled flight, flying around. But here, as we're reading from Bhagavatam, it was very advanced. So, when we hear about these wonderful creations of Kardama's plane, or Bali Maharaj when he went to fight the demigods is a very nice description of how he arrived in his golden airplane. And that he was met by King Indra. When he went into Indra's palace, or into his Indra's city, there were over, Prabhupada describes as over 100 million airplanes flying. What sort of traffic control was going on, we can't imagine. But over 100 million airplanes are flying here and there. And so, again, it's not that in previous ages they were primitive or uncivilized, but very advanced cultures. Because actually, and as Prabhupada points out here, the Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago. And the statements of this verse prove that the symptoms of a very advanced civilization then existed. Although modern scientists would like to, and philosophers would like us to believe that it's only a few thousand years old, that it's only by their intelligence, their hard work, their creations that we're living in a very peaceful world and organized society. Actually, it's quite the opposite. The Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita, moga samoga karma gyo, what is that? Moga samoga karma no, moga jnana vichetasa. That actually, such persons, they're bewildered by their demoniac and atheistic views. And they've fallen into this delusional idea that their lives are perfect and complete. Just like here, Hiranyakashipu was also delusional, thinking that by his prowess he could defeat the Lord. Or even Shalva, the Prabhupada talks in great extent in the Krishna book, Amma Bhakta knows. You can hear his narrations. It's very wonderful. Srila Prabhupada describes in greater detail how Shalva, who was also present during the kidnapping of Rukmini Devi, became an avowed enemy of the Yadus. After Rukmini was, and his friend Shishupal was killed. So he was determined to create trouble for the Yadus and make Lord Krishna his eternal enemy, which was to his bad fortune. He is described, he wanted to perform some austerities. So what did he do? He went off into the forests or something, and he ate ashes. I think it's described, one palm full of ashes a day for 1 year, until finally Lord Shiva was satisfied and came before him and asked him, what would you like? And Shalva asked for an airplane. So Maya constructed him a very nice iron airplane, which was quite fantastic. And he was determined with this airplane, this iron vehicle, just like, again, now we have the iron vehicles, the iron airplanes. And so he was determined with this iron airplane that he would create all sorts of havoc for the Yadus. So he attacked Dwarka City and began to shower all sorts of stones and trees and thunderbolts, and he began throwing all sorts of terrible items on the city of Dwarka, harassing the Yadus. Lord Krishna happened to be away at the time, but when he heard that this was going on, he immediately had Daruka take him in his chariot from Indraprastha straight to Dwarka and confront Shalva. So Shalva, of course, was accompanied by his great armies, and they were, again, they were creating all sorts of havoc for the city of Dwarka. Fortunately, I think it was Pradyumna, the Lord's son, was there, and he was fighting the army of Shalva and was defeating them, but still Shalva was so determined that with his super airplane, which could fly so fast that you couldn't see it, it would appear once here and then all of a sudden in another spot, then on the ground, and then it would be in another place, and was bewildering all of the residents. When Lord Krishna came and confronted Shalva, Shalva knew that the Lord would cause him or create a good fight. So what did he do? He, out of it, by his mystic power, he created this form of Vasudev, was it? Right? I believe so. It was, he created his, created an image of Vasudev and appeared before the Lord and said something to him, you rascal or whatever, and cut off the head of Vasudev. And Prabhupada talks about this further in the Krishna book about how this whole pastime of the Lord being momentarily stunned or hesitating, not reacting immediately, is of very much interest to a lot of philosophers. But Prabhupada, again, points out that this is all part of the Lord's human appearance and pastime. So, anyway, the Lord quickly took care of Shalva, and with his, I think it was with his club or something, he smashed the plane of Shalva, and end of story. But again, all this proves is that it's not that in ancient times, in ancient Vedic culture, that there was no civilization or advanced culture. Again, it's quite the contrary. Prabhupada points out here, the Vedic civilization existed millions and millions of years ago. It existed since the creation of the universe, and it included arrangements all over the universe. So, in actuality, there's no comparison. All of this is, of course, revealed to those who are engaged in devotional service. Certainly, there's much more to say about this, but and if there's no questions, we'll end there. Yes, Prabhu. Oh. So with the arrows, he shot down Shalva's airplane. Ah. Yeah, and that's right. When the airplane came down, Shalva very expertly jumped off and landed on the ground, and then he ran toward the Lord, determined that he would kill him. But Prabhupada explains that it was like moths flying into the fire. He was easily dispatched. Yes. No. I don't recall that. No. Okay, so I'm just going to, we're going to do a real quick thing here with Narottam Das Thakur. If someone could please pass this out. We always get to hear a lot about Srila Narottam Das Thakur's life. And there's a very nice book that we would recommend that the devotees please pick up by Satyaraj Prabhu. It's a very excellent book. It talks a lot about the life of Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamananda, particularly about their preaching and how they were involved in the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm just going to read one quick excerpt out of it, or a couple. And then we wanted to sing this one very nice bhajan, and particularly read the, which I'm the only one that has, the purport to it. It's a really, really ecstatic purport, and Prabhupada so nicely reveals the ecstasies of Narottam Das Thakur. So, first of all, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go from Puri to Vrindavan, he stopped in the village of Ramakeli to see Rupa and Sanatan. At that time, Mahaprabhu looked into the deep blue waters of the Padma River facing Kateri village in East Bengal and began to feverishly shout, "O Narottam, O Narottam!" This was no surprise to Nityananda Prabhu, the Lord's constant associate. Mahaprabhu had on several occasions already exclaimed this name in the midst of exuberant kirtan. From this, the intimate devotees knew that a great personality would soon take birth, for Narottam literally means the topmost person. On this occasion, however, Mahaprabhu was howling the name of Narottam with an overwhelming sense of joy. Tears flowed from his eyes with uncontrollable force as he ran back and forth like a madman. Nityananda Prabhu was concerned about Mahaprabhu's well-being. He had never seen his master reach this level of irrepressibility, nor had he ever seen him shed tears of love with such vehemence, nearly forcing himself to lose consciousness. Mahaprabhu revealed the reason for his heightened ecstasy. "Nityananda, across the Padma in Kateri Gram, Narottam will soon take birth. This will occur in our lifetime. Kirtan is my life and soul, and Narottam will sustain it. There in Kateri, he will absorb my Kirtan Ras with all of my love. I grow anxious for this to occur. For now, I will deposit my intense love in the Padma, and when Narottam comes and bathes here, the Padma will extend my love to him." The next morning, Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and the assembled devotees engaged in an ecstatic kirtan. Nityananda forewarned all of the devotees that Mahaprabhu would be placing his love in the Padma, and that this love would one day be seized by an important devotee named Narottam. After the kirtan, the devotees went to bathe, and when Mahaprabhu entered the Padma, all the waters began to overflow, unable to contain the divine prema that Mahaprabhu had stored in it. At that time, the personified Padma is said to have appeared to Mahaprabhu and the devotees. She asked the Lord, "I understand that you want me to deliver this love to Narottam, but how will I know when he comes? How will I be able to identify him?" Mahaprabhu answered, "When someone enters your waters and causes you to overflow, as I have just done, and when a person comes whose presence takes you, whose presence makes you jubilant, that is Narottam." The Padmavati smiled, offered her obeisances, and returned to her watery form. Nityananda Prabhu was taken by the beauty of this scene near the Padma River and expressed to Mahaprabhu that he would like to stay there. Mahaprabhu told him that he would one day return, for it was his duty to bring Narottam at that appropriate time to the Padma. Nityananda Prabhu is the personification of Guru Tattva, and so he would naturally guide Narottam to the river where the divine treasure of love of God was waiting. And as the story goes on, Lord Nityananda did appear in a dream to Narottam, instructing him after he took birth to bathe in the Padma. And at that time, it's described how his complexion changed from a darkish complexion to a golden complexion. It's really an incredible pastime. Anyway, there's a lot of nectar in here about Narottam Das Thakur's preaching, how he, as we're going to be observing very shortly, is the Gaur Purnima festival, how for lack of the books of Goswamis, the books had been stolen at the time. So Narottam Das Thakur very expertly used the medium of the festival of Kateri to bring all the Vaishnavas together and celebrate the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we now understand is Gaur Purnima. And there's so many wonderful, wonderful pieces of nectar, but one last thing, and then we'll move on to this song. It's described that Narottam's biographers always describe him as being in a mixed state of bliss and divine lamentation. There's one very nice. Writers have described Narottam's sensitive state by saying that he perpetually bedewed the ground beneath his feet with these streams of tenderness that gushed from his pious eyes. So Narottam Das Thakur was always tearful because of his constant absorption in... Yes, Prabhu? Chaitanya Bhagavat. Yes. So, getting on to this song here, we're going to sing, it's a 1-2-3, just as... yes, Prabhu? Ah, so it's a tough book to get a hold of. The Lives of the Vaishnava Saints, it's available on MP3 and CD by Amla Bhakta. So please look into it. It's an ecstatic book. There's so much nectar in here. You can't put it down once you start it. It's so nectar. So this song is... we're going to sing it in the same melody as Shri Guru Charana Padma, except for the last stanza, the fourth stanza. It's a little bit quicker.
Gaurangera Duti Pada Jardhana Sampada Gaurangera Duti Pada Gaurangera Duti Pada Jardhana Sampada Se jane ba kati rasa sa Gaurange rama dura lila jar karne praveshila Gaurangera mudari lila Darkarne Praveshila Gaurangera Duralila Darkarne Hridayane Malabelo Ta Jai Gaurangera Namaloy Tarhyoy Premadoy Gai Gangaya Jai Gaurangera Namaloy Tarahoy Pimadar Tare Mui Jai Boli Hari Gauranga gune te jure nitya lila tare spure Gauranga gune te jure Nitya lila tare spure Sejana bhakti adi kare Gaurangera Sange Gane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane Gaurangera Sange Gane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane Sejaya Rajendra Suta Pa Sri Gauramandala Bhumi Jeva Jhane Chintamani Sri Gauramandala Bhumi Jeva Jhane Chintamane Tara Hoye Vrajabhume Va Gaura Prema Rasarna Vese Tarange Jeva Dubhe Gaura Prema Rasarna Vese Tarange Jeva Dubhe Se Radha Madhava Antaranga Se Radha Madhava Antaranga A agrihe vabane te takke aguranga vole dakke grihe vabane te takke aguranga vole dakke anarutama magetara sangha Narutama magetara sangha Grihe baba natte takke Hagoranga bole dakke Grihe baba natte takke Hagoranga bole dakke Narutama magetara sangha Narutama magetara sangha Narutama magetara sangha
Do we have time to read the translation? This is a song by Narottam Das Thakur in praise of the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Gauranga refers to Lord Chaitanya who has a fair complexion. One who has a fair complexion is called Gaura. And since Lord Chaitanya was very fair, just like molten gold, he was also named Gaurasundar. Narottam Das Thakur writes, Gaurangera duti para jharadana sampada, se jane bhakati rasasar. Anyone who has accepted the two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya can understand the true essence of devotional service. Devotional service is very difficult. It cannot be understood by any ordinary man. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, out of many thousands of persons who are trying to achieve the perfection of human life, only some actually become perfect and realize the self. And out of many thousands of such self-realized persons, only one can understand Krishna. Without understanding Krishna, how can one engage himself in the service of Krishna? Therefore, the devotional service of Krishna is not an ordinary thing. But fortunately, if one follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, Gaurangera Dutipad, by following the path shown by Lord Chaitanya, the process of simply chanting Hare Krishna, he can very easily understand what devotional service is. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur prays that one takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and follow in his footsteps, for then one can understand the essence of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are very pleasing because the basic principles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement are chanting, dancing, and eating Krishna Prasad. He made his headquarters in Jagannath Puri and would dance, chant, and then immediately call for prasad to be distributed to the devotees. They were so pleased that every day hundreds of men would come to chant and dance with Lord Chaitanya. The temple proprietor, the king of Orissa, Maharaj Pataparudra, had an open order to the workers in the temple to supply as much prasad to Lord Chaitanya's devotees as they wanted. Therefore, his pastimes are very pleasing. Chant, dance, and take prasad. If one is captivated by the pastime of Lord Chaitanya simply by chanting and dancing and eating prasad, the dirty things in his heart will all become cleansed. The heart of anyone who takes to this movement of chanting, dancing, and eating Krishna Prasad will surely be cleansed of all dirty material contamination. Narottam Das Thakur says very rightly, Gaurangera Madhuri Lila Jar Karne Pravarshila Hridaya Nirmala Bhilotar. If one wants to cleanse his heart, he must take to the movement of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya is so nice that one who simply takes the holy name of Gaurasundar, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, will immediately develop love of God. Generally, devotees first chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. For the preliminary process of cleansing the heart is to invoke the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their associates. Lila means pastimes. Without associates, there cannot be pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his associates, Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, Shivas, and many other devotees. Tar means his. Hoy means it is affected. And Prema Roy refers to development of love of God. Simply by chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, one immediately develops love of God. To such a person, Narottam Das Thakur says, "Bravo!" To encourage him in chanting Lord Chaitanya's name and dancing. Just as we clap and say, "Bravo!" Similarly, he said, "Jai! Boli Hari!" Boli Hari. Very nice. Excellent. Then he says, "Gauranga gunete jure nitya lila tare spure." If one appreciates the merciful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and feels ecstasy and sometimes cries, this process will immediately help him to understand the pastimes of Radha Krishna, which are called Nitya Lila. The loving affairs between Radha and Krishna are not a temporary thing. Here in this material world, we can see loving affairs between boys and girls, but that is temporary. That is simply for a few months, a few years, or maybe a little more. But then all that so-called love will go to hell. They are not permanent affairs, but if one really wants permanent love affairs, he must enter into the pastimes of Radha Krishna. Simply by appreciating Lord Chaitanya's movement, one can immediately enter into or understand Radha Krishna's eternal pastimes. One who can understand the transcendental eternal pastimes of Radha Krishna reaches the highest perfectional stage of devotional service. The next line is Gaurangera Sanghe Ghane. Sanghi Ghane means associates. Lord Chaitanya is always associated. He is not alone. We never see a picture of Lord Chaitanya alone. At least there must be Lord Nityananda or Gadadhar Pandit. Actually, wherever Lord Chaitanya was present, many thousands of devotees would assemble. Such devotees, especially those who were his nearest intimate associates, were Nitya Siddha. In the devotional line, there are three kinds of perfect devotees. One is called Sadhana Siddha. This refers to a person who has very rigidly performed the regulative principles, prescriptions, and thereby reached the perfectional stage. Reaching the perfectional stage by executing the regulative principles is called Sadhana Siddha. There's another kind of devotee who is called Kripa Siddha. He may not have executed the regulative principles very rigidly, but by his service mood, he is specifically blessed by the spiritual master or Krishna. He is immediately promoted to the perfectional stage. This is called Kripa Siddha. Nitya Siddha is one who was never contaminated by the material nature. The Sadhana Siddhas and the Kripa Siddhas were supposed to have once been in the contamination of material nature, but Nitya Siddhas never come into contact with the material nature. All the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Nitya Siddhas, or eternally perfect. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, the immediate expansion of Krishna. Advaita is Mahavishnu. Gadadhar is an expansion of Radharani and Srivas of Narad. They are Nitya Siddha, or eternally perfect. They were never imperfect. They were never in contact with material contamination. Just one last page. One should understand that as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, is transcendental, similarly his personal associates are also Nitya Siddha, or eternally transcendental. Say Jai Brajendra Sutta Pash. Brajendra Sutta means Krishna. Simply by accepting that the associates of Lord Chaitanya are eternally free, one can immediately be promoted to the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. Sri Gauda Mandala Bhumi. Gauda means West Bengal. Lord Chaitanya appeared in West Bengal, Navadweep, and he especially flooded that part of the country with the Sankirtan movement. That part of the country has special significance, for it is non-different from Vrindavan. It is as good as Vrindavan. Living in Vrindavan and living in Navadweep are the same. Narottam Das Thakur says, Sri Gauda Mandala Bhumi, Jebe Jane Chintamani. Chintamani means the transcendental abode. Tarahoy Braja Bhumi Bhash. If one simply understands that this land of Navadweep is not different from Vrindavan, then he actually lives in Vrindavan. One should not think that he's living in Bengal or any material country. The places where Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes are, where Lord Chaitanya had his pastimes are as good as Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya's distribution of this love of God is compared with an ocean, Rasa Arnava. What kind of ocean? Not the salty ocean that one cannot taste. The water of this ocean is so nice that if one drinks even one drop, he will like it more and more. It is not ordinary ocean water of which one cannot taste even a drop. Therefore, it is called Rasaranava. In this ocean, there are different waves. An ocean does not stand still. For it is not impersonal or void. And as the ocean is always dancing with waves, similarly, the ocean of transcendental love of Krishna, as introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has constant waves, constant sound. One has to dive deep into that ocean. If one knows the secret and says, let me dive deep into the ocean of the transcendental loving movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya, he immediately becomes one of the confidential devotees of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur concludes this song by saying, Grihe va bhanete take, ha goranga bole dake. It is not necessary that one become a mendicant or give up his family life and society. One can remain wherever he finds it suitable, whether as a householder, as a brahmachari, as a vanaprastha, or as a sannyasi. Vanaprasthas and sannyasis are supposed to live outside of the city. Vanete means forest. Formerly, those who were in spiritual consciousness used to live in the forest to become free of the turmoil of the city life. But that is not possible now. In this age, no one can go into the forest. That requires practice. And no one is practiced to that line. Therefore, generally, one is recommended to live with his friends, wife, and children. That doesn't matter. But he must take to the process of Krishna consciousness as introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not difficult. The real thing is that one has to accept the movement of Lord Chaitanya, chanting, dancing, and eating Krishna Prasad. Even if one is in family life, there is no difficulty. He can just sit down, chant Hare Krishna, dance nicely, and then take Krishna Prasad. Everyone can do this. Those who have renounced this world, sannyasis, also can do it. There is no difficulty. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says that it doesn't matter whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, or sannyasi. He says, if you have taken to these principles of life, I desire your company because you are a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. In this way, Narottam Das Thakur finishes the song. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, you can keep those song sheets if you want. Practice it. It's really a great song.